It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, the moral hazards of pinball and video games. Our guest traces the history of game panics in the United States.
First, last September's Wisconsin State Assembly put together a special task force to assess the challenges facing rural schools in the state.
Speaker Robin Voss asked for recommendations on handling things like declining enrollment, meeting transportation needs, creating partnerships between schools, and sharing innovations.
That report is now out, and the chairman of the task force, Representative Rob Swearingen from Rhinelander, is here with us to talk about it. Representative Swearingen, welcome to Central Time.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for the invitation.
Can you tell us a bit about how this task force came about?
You bet. This goes back, just after we were elected into office, so a year ago, about February or March, and I got together with Representative Mary Chaya from the 35th Assembly District, and she represents the Tomahawk and Merrill area. And we were discussing the challenges that our schools and our respective areas are going through. And at that point, there were some very divisive referendums going on, specifically in the Rhinelander area and Tomahawk Merrill area as well. And so the two of us got together and made an appointment to see Governor Walker. And we talked with the governor and expressed our concerns over the challenges that rural schools were facing. And he agreed that there were some differences between rural and urban, obviously. And so we decided to follow up. And what I did was I invited several people from my home school district from Rhinelander down to Madison. So I had the superintendent, I had the president of the school board, along with some business people from the area. And we went on kind of a whirlwind meeting tour of the state capitol, met with the head of the education committee, met with several senators, met with the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And at the time, we were talking specifically about the numbers relating to Rhinelander, but obviously it goes much bigger than just my home school district. The last meeting that day we had was with Speaker Robin Voss, and the group sat down with the speaker, and we laid out the problems we were having here in the north, and he agreed that we should set up some sort of a focus group, and ultimately, to his credit, he set up the Rural Schools Task Force.
And the list now is complete. A bunch of recommendations here for rural schools dealing with the challenges that face rural schools. What would you say are among the most pressing concerns, and how are you planning on addressing them?
Well, those are the million-dollar question is how we're going to address them. But the concerns, as we traveled the state, we toured 12 different rural schools. We had six hearings. Along with a seventh hearing inside the Capitol to welcome people in the education field to talk to us. And ultimately, the report that I issued a couple of weeks ago now, I guess, is a compilation of all the testimony that we heard from the superintendents, from the concerned parents and the taxpayers, from the teachers and WEAC and the teacher librarians. And the final report, what I put in here, is what I believe could possibly get some potential traction either in separate legislation or potentially in the budget in the next cycle. Some of the things that we identified were obviously when you get into the rural area, broadband access or broadband connectivity is a huge issue for us, and not only just with rural schools because it goes beyond rural schools. It also goes into economic development of these areas. But I always use Eagle River as an example of broadband. In the school, a lot of these kids stay after school and use the facilities in the library because scarcely 5 miles from the Northland Pines High School in Eagle River, some of these students are actually back on dial-up connectivity, which is just unacceptable for any sort of download that you may have to do with schoolwork after school, obviously.
And another thing, aside from the broadband, grade sharing is another recommendation that you have floated. How would that work?
Yeah, that's a neat idea. And it comes out of some great discussion that we had both with the Rural Schools Alliance and others. So you could take two respective school districts. Let's say they're within a reasonable amount apart, so 10, 20 miles apart. And what you could do is take students from, let's say, grades 3, 4, and 5, from both communities and transport them to one school, and then grades 6, 7, and 8 could go to the next school or up through 12 or however you wanted to lay it out. So you would have to come up with some sort of contract between the two districts. But ultimately what it does is instead of consolidating schools or the fear of shutting down schools or declining enrollment, you have students from that radius half going to one side and half going to the other.
Now, I want to talk about one of the recommendations that's been a bit controversial, and this was the suggestion to relax teacher licensing requirements so that I guess you'd have a broader pool of people who are interested in working and qualified to work at some of these rural schools. Why that suggestion?
Yeah, interesting to note, too, and that came out of some discussion. I believe it was with the teacher librarians. We had one librarian in the Antigo area that was really quite impressive. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek because she actually covers 9 school libraries in her job, and obviously spreading herself very thin. And along those lines, there was many teachers that are actually doing the work of 2 or 3 teachers or in different studies. And so the suggestion came out that they really need to cut back on some of the red tape and allow these people who already have the experience to maybe get a license, maybe perhaps a little bit easier. And this wouldn't go into all areas of the state. I don't expect it. It would go just to these, you know, maybe these rural schools. And this is just a concept, an idea. I know that it's been a little bit controversial, but I think that's a good thing. It gets people talking. And there certainly hasn't been anything introduced at this point, but it's an idea.
Yeah, we had a representative, State Superintendent, Tony Eaver, saying that he didn't think this would really address the problem, really get at what the problem was there. Do you have a thought on that?
I guess I understand where he's coming from. But here again, after 12 different hearings and people testifying, this was one of the things that that they thought might be something we should take a look at. Whether or not it gets any traction, whether or not we can come up with an idea that both sides can agree on, all remains to be seen. But I think that it deserves to be put on the table, at least for some good discussion.
Now, there were a couple of recommendations in the report that were voted down by the legislature already, including a loan forgiveness program for teachers and eliminating the cap on scarcity aid for schools. Could you talk about where those are now?
Yeah, sure. And actually, my co-chair was Representative Fred Clark, the Democrat out of Baraboo, who we worked really well together, along with the rest of the team on both sides of the aisle on this project. And Representative Clark did at one point introduce some legislation that actually removed the cap on sparsity aid. But that is a very, very expensive proposition to just blow the cap off of sparsity aid. So the proposal in the report simply raises it from $725 to $1,000, and then there's also an additional multiplier outside of that for some other possibilities with students. I think it's under 7 per square mile. So there are 2 different things we're talking about there. The other one was the teacher loan forgiveness. You know, here again, it was an idea that was placed on table. I wanted to make sure that the report was out first before I weighed in on any sort of proposed legislation. I believe that legislation also was not quite as cut and dry. And it's an idea. I think it merits some good discussion and further looking at. But that particular one, I'm not quite sure. I think that was actually tied to some sparsity aid as well. So there are options and there are ideas. You're right. There was a couple of pulling motions on the assembly floor that did not go anywhere on those 2 issues, but they are clearly in the report and something that should be looked at in the future.
So we've got a whole bunch of recommendations from this report. How big a priority do you see this being in the next session?
Well, like I indicated earlier, I think that what are included in this report is something that I believe we could potentially get some traction. I think that we've got the attention of the speaker, of course, and the assembly. Keep in mind, this was just an assembly task force. We still have to worry about working with the Senate. Obviously, we're hoping that they'll be receptive, and as well as the governor's office with everything's coming down the pike. But I do believe it's a priority. And what we found largely is these schools and these rural communities are the pride and joy of the community. And so there wasn't much talk about consolidation, for instance. I mean, maybe it could be there in the background of some of these folks, but they want to keep their schools. Same with the schools and their school libraries are very much a nucleus of the community, and that we need to save that in the state of Wisconsin as much we can.
Now, whatever happens, it's going to be a little while until some of these kick in. Do you think the rural school districts that are most troubled are going to be able to hang on until they get help?
Gosh, I sure hope so. But you are exactly right. You know, we won't go back in now until after elections, and so 2015. So all eyes are certainly on the next budget cycle and in standalone legislation to see what we can get done. But the fact of the matter is that I give the speaker credit for organizing this task force, and it was never on the calendar to be done prior to the end of session because we wanted to give it the time it deserved. It's a big project. It's a priority project. And I think what we have here is a pretty good snapshot of the end result. And so hopefully we can produce some positive legislation that will impact these rural school districts.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about it.
You bet. My pleasure. I appreciate the invitation.
We've been speaking with Representative Rob Swearingen from Rhinelander. He chaired a special task force that assessed the challenges facing rural schools in Wisconsin.